in the name of Jesus, who can speak for himself? Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. We have made it to fall kickoff. I was told that everyone was still at the lake until after the first weekend of October. So good for you all for getting up and staking your claim on your pews for the year. The battle has begun. It will be fun to watch the disruption for the rest of the year. Before I venture into this, I do want to say, just for frameworking, I know that there are some folks maybe sniffing us out for the first time. I do want to say this is a place we expect young people to be with us, particularly young shriekers like the one who's out here somewhere. And I do want to say that whatever I'm going to say right now as a sermon will shape you less than sitting in the midst of worship with a baby who is shrieking. I'm just going to say that and leave it at that. So I expect it to be here. A curious thing happened this spring. An amazing thing, in fact. A first of its kind, in a sense, happened this spring. I had my mind completely blown at a concert I was at. My beloved wife, Erica, a lifelong Billy Joel fan, took me to the Billy Joel concert. This was a big deal for me. I listened to him as sort of a cultural, appreciator of what he's done in his lifetime. I've got all sorts of schema around his songs, when they showed up and what was happening in my life. And this is my first time to see him in person. And it was great. The concert was great. The best part of the concert was getting to see Erica enjoy the concert as a really diehard fan. And one day I'll drag her to some show that I really love, like Rush or some show like this. I know she'll be miserable on her own, but she'll get to delight in seeing me be delighted. And so payback will be, as they say, complicated. So here we are at a Billy Joel show. And in the midst of the Billy Joel show, we're enjoying what he does, one of the best showmen of all time. We come to what felt like perhaps an intermission, right? The energy felt right, time to do a new thing in the show. And the lights go down in a sense, not off, but down, and darn near everybody cleared the place. And a guy sidles up from the side of the stage, and he must have been almost 7 feet tall. He was gigantic. Clearly one of the road crew whose primary task was to move big, heavy things. And he was in his uniform, which is jeans, black t-shirt, silver hair hanging long, coming only from the sides of his head, not the top, right? So when you imagine roadie, this is the guy. This is the roadie. Prototypical. And he comes up on stage and he's kind of wandering around doing his thing as if he's helping the show. And we're all just kind of waiting to see what happens and waiting for Billy Joel to come back. And then we notice people start to come back to their instruments. And this guy is still on the stage. Well, there's no sign of Billy. So it raises my curiosity. I think, well, what's going to happen here? And then the first chord is a power chord from a rock band who, from the 80s, I was reminded at 8 o'clock this morning, I have to sort of unpack my schema. This is a song from AC/DC at a Billy Joel show. No Billy on stage, just this road crew guy. And the power chord starts, and it doesn't end there. The whole band joins in. And all of a sudden, they're playing Highway to Hell by AC/DC at a Billy Joel concert. And I thought, well, this is when I go kind of refresh my beverage. I've got 7 minutes to take care of business. And just as I got up to move, this guy in the black shirt and the jeans with the silver hair, empty on top, grabs the mic and he starts singing. The roadie starts singing, and it was mesmerizing. It was the most incredible thing I'd ever heard. I'd never heard a voice like this. It was better than the original. Which may not mean much to this crowd, but... For AC/DC folks, this was a big deal. And I don't even like AC/DC. But this was a big deal. He killed it. He got up there, took a posture with a microphone, and sang like we were all there to watch him. He commanded the stage. He owned the crowd. Everyone was in it. And what started as sort of murmuring and people headed towards the doors, you could see him from the lighted doorways. People are coming back in. And it turns into cheers for this guy. It was incredible. And he felt it. He knew he was killing it. And he decided, rather than just stand here, I'm going to sidle all over the stage, because that's about as much as he could do. And all of a sudden, he starts moving, and then he's walking full stride, and by the end of the song, he's on the edge of the stage singing out over people, like a real rock star. I couldn't believe my eyes. I just couldn't believe it, that this guy who showed up, I thought, to move a couple of stools, is doing this on a stage with tens of thousands of people watching at the Target Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota. That's where the transfiguration happens. That's where it happens. It's those kind of things. When we show up with expectations, a whole list of stuff, we think, well, this person, you know, they kind of do this. They're only good for this. They'll do this, and then we'll get back to the main thing. All of a sudden, that's the main thing. I couldn't believe it. It was the main thing. Billy came back. I mean, he wrapped up the show like 2 hours later. But I was still thinking about this guy. That was the main thing for me that night, was to see this roadie transfigured in front of me. It was powerful. And I was convicted by the fact that I assumed he was just one thing, when in fact, he was truly, and in God's eyes, gifted to be another. It was profound. I clapped, of course, I yelled. I might have filmed a little bit of it, but in the midst of it, all I could do was weep. I was so touched that this guy got up and showed me what God looks like when God breaks through my own expectations. When I give myself permission to sit and pay attention rather than get up and assume that I know what's going to happen. When I give myself permission to just sit in the presence of God and be surprised, challenged, converted, resurrected even, I might say. And these little things happen to us all the time. They happen all the time, but most of us are up taking care of business, refreshing our drink, because we already know what's coming. The story from the gospel today is all about this. Jesus is used to this. He regularly shows up to folks who think they're here for some other show. So he shows up. He knows there's expectations for him, low though they may be. And he starts asking around, well, what are people saying about me? Well, you're the roadie. You move furniture. You might preach a prophetic word once in a while. That's about it. That's what we expect of you. Well, yeah, but, well, what do you think? I mean, be honest with me. What's on your heart? What do you think about me? And Peter, who always speaks for us, the buffoon of Scripture, Peter, not knowing any better, answers right. He says, you're the Messiah. So then Jesus says, well, let me tell you about what that means. And Jesus gets up, grabs the microphone, leans out over the stage, and kills it. He's just singing, and he's telling everybody, this is what the Messiah looks like. The Messiah doesn't do this, the Messiah does this. The Messiah doesn't do this, the Messiah does this. You've heard it said, but I say to you, this is what the Messiah does. Cell phones shape us too. And here's what Jesus says. Peter, you are dead wrong. You are dead wrong. When the Messiah shows up, the Messiah does things like suffer. When the Messiah shows up, the Messiah does things like reach out to those who've been untouchable forever. When the Messiah shows up, the Messiah does things like speak truth to power. The Messiah challenges empire. The Messiah challenges even our notions of self-preservation and self-preoccupation. The Messiah challenges the notion that we're the center of the universe and that our sole task in life is to save ourselves. No, the Messiah shows up and the Messiah has a trajectory. And that trajectory is directly from this conversation to Calvary. Well, Peter's not having it. Peter says, that is not the Messiah that I'm aware of. That is not the Messiah I'm hoping for. And I'll tell you the reason I'm not hoping for that Messiah is because if that's really the Messiah, then that means that's my Lord. And if that's my Lord, then that means that's the one I'm supposed to follow. And I don't want to go to Calvary. I don't have any interest in that. That's what we're dealing with, right? All of us. That's what we're all dealing with. We all have narratives that we bring to this enterprise of faith community. We all have narratives within us and around us about the meaning of life, our own particular purpose within it. We all have narratives about who this God is and what God's intentions are. Within that, we have some sense maybe about who this Jesus is. And at best, we do what we can to park that Jesus in what we would prefer to be a fictional text. We would prefer that this is just a story about somebody long ago who was interesting enough for us not to get involved. Someone interesting enough that we can think about it. We can look back on it as history and study it, but we don't have any interest in that as a Messiah, who we claim as Lord, who then is our leader, who walks us to Calvary, and everything that that means. We've got zero interest in that for the most part. And I got to be honest, I'm right in it. I'm right in it with you. That's really hard. I don't wake up in the morning and think, how am I going to head to Calvary today? How am I going to make sure that I am challenging everything I believe about me and the world around me today? Like, that is not how I start my day. The newspaper does that for me. But that is not how I start my day. And yet, when we claim this one as Lord, this one who has shown up and said, you might have all these expectations for me, but guess what? I've got my own voice. Thank you very much. I know you're telling me who you want me to be, but I'm just going to claim my space and I'm going to tell you who I am and what I'm about. And what I'm about is about taking a particular posture towards the world, which we know is hurting, which we know is broken and hungry and lost. I show up with a particular posture towards the world which requires mercy and forgiveness and deep compassion and understanding. That's the posture of the Messiah, despite all our expectations otherwise. And Jesus just says it. This is just who I am. And here's the problem. By the time Jesus gets to Calvary, how big is his audience? It is little. Tiny. And the ones who are there really are watching from a distance. Because God knows this is hard stuff. Our narrative is that this is hard stuff. And yet, it is our narrative. It's our story. And every fall, we show up like we are today, and we agree to start over. Not to have someone prescribe for us what it looks like to be the faithful Christian, but to just agree we will once again wake up, open our ears, open our hearts to the possibility, that we could be part of what God is about in the world. That's a fairly modest expectation. It's a fairly modest hope that we could show up and just agree to listen. Not to exercise the bravado that we're hearing about around us. Not to exercise the kind of prescriptive certainty that beats everybody up with a particular Jesus. But to be open to the possibility that each of us has something wrong about him. Each of us has room to hear a new thing. Each of us has room to be challenged. And each of us has a faith community to sit in who will support us in the midst of that very conversion. It's hard work. Some of us may move forward this year. Some of us may move backwards. And you know what? We're all still on the same boat. And it's all right. We're in it together, listening to the same story, headed the same direction. I pray that it be a good year for you. I pray that what we do here can create enough of a safe space to explore what you need to explore so that Jesus can work on you in your own way. That's what we commit to in this place. That's what St. Mark's is all about. Amen.